For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball as we do every Saturday morning this week, wondering and hoping if Cubs third base coach Willie Harris hit all the lights on his commute home last night, and whether the White Sox will ever win again. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Wow. Were you working on that line? Or
they said... Bruce, it's just right there for you. It's right there for us.
Why
this is a tough day for Chicago baseball.
I see it written down in front of you. No?
No, I have notes.
Here's
what I have notes on, Bruce. I'm reading my notes that you're alluding to because we're not on Twitch, but people want to know because you just brought attention to it. Cubs, 3 in a row, losses, 8 out of 10. Sox, 9 in a row, losses, 13 out of 14. Those are my notes. That's the reality. Now we have to deal with
it. Hey, don't take me to negative town in the first minute of the show.
You brought me there, but it is tough weekend for Chicago.
I don't live in this part of the town at all. I'm in the positivity part of town, but it's a very small area. It's near the very most southeast side of the city. It's hard to find right now.
It is hard to find, and we watched the White Sox last night lose to the Brewers 12-5, and the Brewers get 23 hits, 18 singles, death by 1,000 cuts. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Wow, you just stole that line.
I'm stealing lines. I'm writing down notes. Bruce, you're exposing me.
I know where you got that line.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Cubs, meanwhile, back in Chicago, they lose in a painful fashion to the Reds, in a game they needed to get 5-4, and how they lost that game is the bigger story, I think, than that they lost that game because of what we kidded about coming into the show. Willie Harris sending Mick Madrigal home in the ninth inning was a mistake that he owned. You were there. How would you describe what happened before we hear from all the parties involved?
Well, our show is called Inside the Clubhouse, and that's truly when Mitch Rosen and I sat down to name this show 11 years ago, Mitch and I were going up and back, and I said, you know, I like Inside the Clubhouse. He goes, yeah, that's a good idea, because ultimately I see you and your co-host talking about what you see on a daily basis when you go and report on the games. And we are truly going inside the clubhouse to talk about Willie Harris, who talked outside of the interview room inside the clubhouse yesterday. And David just set it up. You know, the big play, the play at the plate, Ellie De La Cruz, take it away.
Yeah, so here we are in the ninth inning. The Cubs are trailing, and it's 5-3 at the beginning of the inning. Nick Madrigal reaches first on a fielder's choice, and then he is the runner in question. Pete Crow Armstrong is on third base. Seiya Suzuki doubles in the left field corner. The relay is to Ellie De La Cruz. Now, there are a lot of shortstops that you might want to test Nick Madrigal's speed and trust going around third trying to score from first on a double into the left field corner. Ellie De La Cruz is at the top of the list of shortstops you wouldn't want to test And yet Willie Harris did. Willie Harris waved in Nick Madrigal, who was chugging. His helmet fell off. He's grinding. He's trying. But he's little Nick Madrigal. He's not getting anywhere fast. And he didn't get there fast enough. And so, obviously, this is what it sounded like after Seiya Suzuki hit the double. And this is the call of Nick Madrigal being thrown out at the plate.
Cubs trail 5-3. Swinging a drive to left down the line toward the corner. That's going to be in there for a base hit. One run is in. Rounding third, Madrigal heading to the plate. Cruz relay to the plate. It's going to be in time. Suzuki ends up at third. Madrigal cut down, trying to score all the way from first. Great throw by De La Cruz, the cutoff man. 7-6-2 on the put out at the plate. The play not really that close at home.
Bruce, let me ask you a baseball strategy question. There's one out. Your mindset in it for a team that has struggled scoring runs. The Cubs offense is broken. I understand the need to be aggressive, but how do you balance that with not wanting to make the second out at home plate?
Well, I think that talking to Willie Harris about this, we'll go to the sound and we'll talk about the fact that one out, the top of the order is coming up. As a third base coach, you're thinking that. And let's hear from Willie Harris on exactly what he's thinking as he sees Madrigal going around the bases.
I'm watching the ball. I know who the outfielder is. I know his arm strength isn't plus-plus. I took a chance on trying to score right there. It didn't work out for us, unfortunately for me and for the team. But, you know, you have to be aggressive. You have to try to score runs. I know Belly was coming up next, and my mindset was they're probably going to walk him. But if he's safe, you know, it's a different story. But, you know, they made a play. Tip your cap to him. Come back and play him again tomorrow.
So what made it even harder, I think, was that Cody Bellinger comes up and hits what? A fly ball that would have been a sacrifice fly that Madrigal could have scored on. Because
right.
It was deep enough to score the runner from third,
unless and then we're tied. Unless he was walked.
Possibly.
Yeah.
They probably would have done that, right?
Yeah.
But you got to like your chances with Nick Madrigal, runner on third, with one out, rather than taking a chance on the strongest shortstop arm in baseball, yeah. Perhaps.
So, as I was talking to Sean Sears, our great producer, about before you got in this morning, is the real-time factor compared to the time we've had to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that listening to Harris, which is so valuable to baseball fans and for us to be able to evaluate this, he had all these things in mind, but it wasn't the right thing, and he admitted it right away. The fact is that with only one out, as you pointed to so well, David, you can't lose that runner at home plate. Okay, you can't. And he had, you know, to Harris's credit, he came out and talked to the media. He didn't have to.
He's accountable, though.
Yeah, he stood up and he said, hey. And then counsel talked about the fact that there has been so many times during the year that Harris has stolen a run from the other team.
True.
By being aggressive.
That was gracious of him to point that out.
It's true.
It's also true.
Right.
I want to hear from Craig Counsell. We're going to hear from Nick Madrigal. But before we do, Bruce, I also want to ask you to describe Willie Harris in the clubhouse, inside the clubhouse, because the way that a couple of the stories read, he was smiling. He was the same kind of personality you're used to seeing. How unusual is that in your experience to have a guy who made the mistake everybody's talking about? Third base coaches for the Cubs have gotten a lot of attention over the years. You remember waving Wendell Kim.
Right.
And I don't know that he was ever this aggressive in a situation like this, but Willie Harris owned it, and he was accountable. He also sounds like he was pretty affable, as is his personality in doing so.
He was affable, and he took it, and the players appreciated it when we talked to Madrigal, when we talked to Swanson, that he owned up to making a mistake. Just like all the mistakes that are made every day during a 162-game season. Just like the fact that the Cubs were 1-for-9.
That's it.
With runners in scoring position. So this was the one that stood out. This was the one that basically ended the game, except that he had one more bat left, and that player wasn't able to do it. He hit it far, but it was an out. The fact is, this is easy to focus on and vent on because it's so obvious.
312 Disco Demo points out, or Disco Demolition Dave, excuse me, that De La Cruz throws a 90-mile-an-hour strike to the catcher on the relay. The Cubs just got beat on a great baseball play. That they did, but they also put themselves in a position to get beat by the strongest arm, one of the strongest arms of any shortstop in baseball. This is how Nick Madrigal described what was going through his head and what happened on the play in question.
Yeah, I mean, off the bat, I saw that he was going to catch it. You know, I saw him going towards the line. Wasn't sure how, you know, hard he hit or if he's going to get to the wall or what, but, you know, I put my head down immediately and felt like I got a good break on it. You know, I knew it was going to be bang, bang, and, yeah, just put my head down and, yeah.
Yeah, let me say this, Bruce. Yeah, this is unfair to say, but doesn't it seem like Nick Madrigal is at the center of a lot of these kinds of plays? Doesn't it seem like he's always one step late or one something? This week has been a bad week for Nick
Madrigal. Well, you couldn't possibly blame him for this.
I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. I'm certainly not blaming him.
He didn't send himself.
I know he didn't send himself, but it just seems as if this is...
He has to take a lot of little steps to make up for the bigger ones that other guys take. And he is just, you know, I mean, he is such a guy that has to do so much to get some things done.
His baseball profile, though, makes him the kind of guy that you think should be sent in a situation like that. If he's going to be on this team, he's got to be the guy that is worthy of getting from first to home on a double.
He's not the fastest runner in the team.
No, PCA is. That's what I wanted.
No, there are other faster runners than he is.
Than Madrigal?
Yeah. Horner's faster than he is.
I could see that.
Yeah. I would say Bellinger is equal. Okay?
Long loping strides.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying he has to take a lot of steps.
Yeah.
And he's a ball of energy. I think the reason the White Sox drafted him so high was he was a great college player, and he was, you know, the type of guy that Kenny Williams loved, the type of guy that just busted it on every play, that every play was a heart attack type play. Okay,
well, that investigation should still be open. Why the White Sox drafted him?
I'm not defending the yeah. Where, but the point is that he gives you everything in every play because he has to, and he's always overachieved in his career, high school, college, and then in Major League Baseball, and he still has to try to overachieve every play. I watch him practicing every day harder than anyone else, learning third base where he never played before to be considered the best defensive third baseman on the team that has two other third basemen. Okay,
that's a relative description because he's
an overachiever.
He is an overachiever, but he has hurt the Cubs this week earlier.
Not his fault.
Yesterday was not his fault. The grounder under his glove in Milwaukee might have been, but that was early in the week.
You know, if you want to go after the construction of the 26-man roster, that's a different story.
That is a different story, and I don't want to make this about Nick Madrigal because he was his involvement was incidental. This was a bad decision and a bad send by Willie Harris, the third base coach. This is how Craig Counsell, the manager that you alluded to, before we get to the phone lines, 312-644-6767, this is how Craig Counsell talked about the play in question.
Yeah, I mean, look, Willie has been fantastic, and his aggressiveness has got us a lot of runs this year. It didn't work this time. We just have to take the play. I mean, I think the plays today were we had an aggressive send. Like I just said with Willie, we've sent runners aggressively, and that's gotten us runs. The play at third with Dansby was, you know, that's a tricky play. I thought India made a hell of a play throwing from his knees. Throwing accurately from his knees from about 100 feet was a hell of a play. And then that's what I saw with that one. You know, there's been some others throughout the season that, yeah, we made some mistakes for sure.
Aha! Craig Counsell alludes to something we need to explore a little bit further, Bruce. The manager himself brought it up. I think he took the Willie Harris decision well, professionally, like you would expect Craig Counsell, who has got a deep reservoir
of patience.
He's not
going to dump on his guy.
He's not going to. He did the right thing, said the right words. He also reminded us it was not the first base running gaffe of the day or bad decision of the day. Dansby Swanson gets caught off base after an infield single. Jonathan India makes a great throw. Bruce, the Cubs have made more outs on the bases, 27 now, than any team in baseball. How do you hire a manager and pay him more than anybody in the game and have a team that can't run the bases intelligently as much as the Cubs haven't in the first 60 games of the season?
It's a reflection on him and the coaching staff, but at the same time, it's also a reflection on the players, okay? It's a bad base-running team. That's what we surmise,
right? Didn't expect that.
No, but that's what they've been. Now, what is that predicated on? What was Harris's decision predicated on twice? And that is, this team has struggled to score runs. This team is 2-8 in their last 10. This team, in some ways, showed the panicking of trying to do too much in certain situations because they've had such a difficult time scoring.
Fair enough. All right, that's
It's not an excuse.
I want another question about counsel. I want you to address because you were there, and obviously you go through these decisions. I'm sure, like we all do, watching. So you've got Nick Madrigal, who ended up being in the middle of the play of the game, but why was he in the game at all instead of Patrick Wisdom in that situation? Instead of Patrick Wisdom, who is a home run threat against Diaz in a situation where, yeah, okay, Madrigal makes more contact. He did get on base because he did so, and he, you know, a fielder's choice he beat out. But Patrick Wisdom sitting there with a big home run bat on the bench, not used.
Because, as counsel explained it, I asked that question directly to counsel. It's the first question I asked, and he said, in this situation, Madrigal is the guy I wanted because he's a contact guy.
Yeah, just in my eyes, it was just a tough matchup for Patrick and just a better matchup for Nick.
And the reason being contact over power and possible strikeout. He didn't want the strikeout as a – okay, so three possible, you know, most likely scenarios. Strikeout, walk, home run for Patrick, okay?
Right.
Contact, albeit soft contact, maybe sometimes, for Madrigal to keep the inning going and move it along, that was – the choice that he made. He didn't want a strikeout there. And it's been, as you pointed out, David, it's been reversed. He's done the other thing. He's had Patrick pinch hit for Madrigal in situations like that as well.
Yes, he has.
But dictated by the circumstance.
Matchups. He's Mr. Matchup. I get that. You want your manager
and
to be ahead
matchup
of the game.
And yes. Circumstance.
I get it.
Needed down two runs, needed to keep the inning going.
Let's face it, it almost did. Nick Madrigal should have been on first base because the ball hit him. They called it a foul ball. He should have been on first base anyway without the extra out because the fastball it hit the knob of the bat, but didn't it hit his hand first? And
so when you're the umpire, you see a 95-mile-an-hour fastball hitting a bat in a hand, okay?
Yeah.
You see the trajectory of the ball, okay? Where was the trajectory of the ball? Straight down.
Yeah, straight down. Okay.
And what does that mean? Did it hit the hand or the bat?
Which did it hit first?
So it hit, okay, the way that Madrigal described it, yeah, it hit the bat, but it hit my hand first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the way counsel described it was, it had to hit part of the hand. So therefore, chicken and egg, what is it constituted as? They showed it to the umpires in New York. They agreed the call stands, but it's probably a call that doesn't satisfy anybody.
Counsel gets ejected yesterday. Earlier in the week, Daniel Moskov gets ejected along with Yancy Almonte, right? He got ejected as well in the balk call on Hector Neris. Is this a team unraveling in the midst of this losing streak, Bruce?
They're human beings who are emotionally...
Unraveling. I want to unraveling.
Human beings impacted by bad luck and bad offense.
It's tough. Frustrating.
The offense is just not good right now, okay?
Yeah.
So from an expected offense, there's everybody at Clark and Addison, starting with Mr. Ricketts, his family, Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, everybody there are extremely disappointed, going down to the manager, coaches, and players, that this has not been a good offensive team. One of the worst. I think the White Sox and Cubs, if I'm not mistaken, scored the fewest runs in May of any two teams
Goodness
in baseball.
Sakes, I think you're right. That's a very odd statistical anomaly, because you don't expect to be there if you're the Cubs. If you're the Sox, yeah, maybe so. You're the worst team in baseball. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call before we get to a break, because we want somebody who has a thought on Nick Madrigal. Joel is on the north side. Welcome inside the clubhouse. Good morning, Joel.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yes, good morning, guys. I was just going to say what you guys talked about, that I wasn't second-guessing the decision to pinch hit Madrigal for Wisdom. I was first-guessing it. It seemed bewildering to me, and, you know, Council was like, well, just a better matchup. I don't see how Nick Madrigal is a better matchup in any situation ever. Bruce, with all due respect, I feel like you're being really, really soft on Madrigal. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but it's pretty hard to justify keeping him on the roster. I don't know.
That's not his call.
Thank you, Joe.
That's not his call. If he doesn't belong on the roster, it has nothing to do with who Council has to choose from in those circumstances.
What you're pointing out, I think, is a fair-minded way of pointing something out. You're saying that there might be issues that people have with Nick Madrigal and why he may not be the best fit for this roster, or why he may not be the best third baseman. But you're also saying that all those things can be true, and it still doesn't matter, because Nick, as far as the play we're talking about, he had no shot but he had to follow directions, and Willie Harris was telling him to go, go, go. Fast, fast, fast.
Yeah.
And he was too slow.
In reality, if it was Wisdom and the same play occurred where he hit a ground ball, he ends up at first base, he's trying to score, there's no chance that Willie Harris is going to send him, right?
Right. You're
zero.
Right.
Because he's not as fast as Madrigal is. But I think, you know, in a lot of ways, when we alluded to it a little while ago, Madrigal is not that fast. Okay, what he is he's a quick guy that moves quickly with his feet,
I think,
he doesn't cover as much ground with those steps.
What you're saying, Bruce, is that he has deceptive speed. He is slower than he looks.
He is.
Right.
Yeah, and again, it's not his fault he's on the roster. It's not his fault. I mean, does Nick Madrigal give you every bit of 100% every time he's
every day
out there?
He has to.
Okay.
That's why he's here.
So it's not the fault of the player. It's the fault of what has occurred, the system that he's on the roster. If you don't think he belongs on the roster, it's not relevant in a game like yesterday. What's relevant is that he didn't score. He was out. It was a wrong send. And the Cubs basically are struggling on decisions now at times because of being impacted by the fact that they're not scoring enough runs.
Their lack of offensive execution had led them to maybe a sense of desperation.
No, there's no question, and it's human nature.
Yes.
Even on a professional, great professionals like these guys out there, guys that are really good at what they do, they are human. They are being impacted by the frustration of not scoring enough runs, losing close games.
We've got a lot of phone calls that people want to weigh in. 312-644-6767. We're having some fun on the text line as well, 630. I tuned in today only to hear David complain and whine about his Cubbies. LOL. Okay. Well, stay here. We'll be here till 11 o'clock complaining and whining about those Cubbies. We'll talk to some members of the Cubby coaching staff. Ryan Flaherty is going to join us at 10 o'clock. We're going to go to the White Sox, and Paul DeJong, their shortstop, will join us at 10:30. We've got a lot of stuff along the way. We're going to hear some chin music from Craig Council, maybe. We have a little bit of chin music for the Cub manager. We've got a lot left in the show. Your calls as well. 312-644-6767. David Haw, Bruce Levine, inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Take us through that. I mean, it was a nice play by India, but what you see and what you're hearing on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, you got to give him a lot of credit for that play. It's a tough one for all parties, just because being behind me, you can't really run with looking backwards and just kind of came around the base a little too far. Usually in those situations, obviously, there's a chance you're going to be scoring because you're off the crack of the bat. And so he was able to make a good play and make a throw behind me.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, talking Cubs and White Sox this morning. That was the voice, familiar voice of Dansby Swanson when he described overrunning third base on an infield single by Pete Crow Armstrong. Jonathan India, heads up play, acrobatic throw, nailed Dansby Swanson napping. And Bruce, it was the 26th out on the bases. The Cubs would later make the 27th that we spoke about in the first segment. This is not the team I expected the Cubs to be. Did not think they would be leading the majors in outs on the base paths as we sit here on the first day of June.
Yeah, and I don't. Willie Harris took blame for that. I don't see it. You know, again, I think it's just a part of the aggressiveness of base runners on a team that's having trouble scoring runs and wanting to score that run so desperately that a smart play turned into not a smart play. And both guys looked dumb. And Willie, to his credit, took the blame for it. I don't think you can stop him coming around third base. It's real time. When we see it for the third or fourth time in replay, it's no longer real time, okay? Yeah. The decisions by the runner, by the coach, are a second, a quarter of a second.
But you've got to anticipate that, don't you? You've got to anticipate.
That you're going to get thrown, they're going to throw behind you?
Or that you, maybe not. I think you always want to have a heightened sense of awareness, but that's fair.
I think they're trying to do too much.
Yeah, they are trying to do too much. Yeah. I grant you that. Yeah. They're trying
and
to score runs any way possible.
That is the athlete, the competitor inside of these guys wanting desperately to turn this thing around.
Before we get to the phone lines, do you think that crept into Willie Harris's thinking, trying to do too much when Nick Madrigal's rounding third?
No question.
You know, because they don't make commercials about third base coaches that put up the stop sign. Yeah. They make commercials about third base coaches that, get down!
But as I pointed out to... I was having this conversation with the other media people as we were waiting for counsel to come in and we're discussing this play. I said, how many times has this guy gotten them a run by being aggressive? And it's never, ever pointed out because it's just a part of, hey, the Cubs were aggressive. They scored that run. Credit to Willie Harris, never. You only hear about a third base coach when they mess up.
We need a metric for third base coaches, I think is what you're saying, Bruce. We need some sort of new analytic to measure.
Wave and Wendell hardly ever did any interviews after.
I do remember interviewing Wendell Kim. I remember doing the column on Wendell Kim after one of those days where he was booed off the field.
Right.
You probably do.
And then I put it in the cat box.
Exactly.
And,
thank you, Bruce.
Yeah.
Let's get out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Texter says, 312 says, Swanson has been bad since the beginning of September 2023. I think he had a rough month, and he's had a rough start to the season, so that's a valid point. Joe is in Chicago. Joe, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you? Morning, Joe.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I want to talk about something you don't really talk about, it seems like, and that's Jed Hoyer. How long has he been there, and how many times have we been to the playoffs?
Okay.
Thanks, Joe. Jed Hoyer is somebody we talk about a lot. Jed Hoyer talks a lot. He's the most accessible sports executive in Chicago. I think he has also had a lot of success in his role. I think Jed Hoyer has every reason to get the benefit of the doubt. But I do think you can say that and also believe that there are some holes in this roster.
It's a walk year for Jed Hoyer.
Explain that.
His contract's up.
Wow. I don't think I realized that. Is that a very widely known fact?
Yeah, you can go to Cots Contracts in...
they have executives on there.
They have executives, and it shows the length of their contracts.
Jed Hoyer in a contract year then.
Yeah.
Not off to a good start.
No, but I mean...
Not off to a good start.
Do you think he's in trouble with...
No.
I mean, I think that his charge is what he and Carter Hawkins have been doing for the past 4 years, and that is the charge by ownership, and Tom Ricketts in particular, was build me the farm system that was promised to me by the previous administration that you were a part of, okay, but that was promised to me that we don't have in place right now.
Joe asked specifically, yes, it's true. When Jed Hoyer came, he came shortly after Theo Epstein did in the fall of 2011. Jed Hoyer came here from the
within San Diego. Minutes. Yeah,
well, yeah, it might have been
literally.
It might have been an hour
when he was having his when Theo was having his press conference. Yeah. I was on the phone with Hoyer. He hadn't been hired yet, but I found him at the Western Hotel. He picked up the phone. I said, "Hey, you're in town, aren't you?" He goes, "Yeah, I am."
Come on, okay, you got to tell that story.
No, that's the truth.
I didn't know that. So,
well, I mean, it's not something you talk about every
Theo year. Is already hired. This is October 2011.
I'm at the press conference.
You're at the press conference.
I'm in the back of the room.
All right.
I call the Westin. Mm-hmm. I said, room Jed Hoyer. I've done this for a million years. It works about 10 to 20% of the
and
time.
He was checked in as Jed Hoyer.
Hoyer.
He
picked
use
up
an
the
alias?
Phone. I said, Jed, Bruce Levine. He goes, hey, how are you? He starts laughing, chuckling. I said, oh, it's pretty cool that you're in Chicago. What an oddity, you know. Theo's getting named right now, and he said, "Yeah, we haven't said anything yet." So he was hired, you know, I think that afternoon or later in that day that or the next day that he was hired as the general manager.
You were on top of that.
Well, no, I'm not patting myself on the back. It's just in context to what we're talking about. His charge by. The owner of the team was, I'm upset we don't have a farm system. I'm not spending on free agents. We're not going to have $300 and $350 million payrolls. Your job is to build that farm system. We will spend money when we have the other players plugged in. And that was the big story of the time is that, you know, again, we have the world championship. Now we want a sustainable team built with a farm system as we move forward.
Much different objective now. I think when you look at the way Jed has replenished the farm system since the purge when they traded Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo, that you can say that has been a task that he completed. But now I think when you look at this roster, and that's what people are complaining about, that's what people want to know about. This roster has two significant holes. It needs a power bat that was neglected over the winter. It needs a late inning, high leverage relief pitcher, which was supposed to be Albert Alzolay. I will hold Jed responsible for the former, not the latter. They should have been more aggressive in getting a power bat. That is fair criticism.
Right.
But I don't think that should cost him his job.
And the bullpen guy that you know everybody wanted that used to be with the Brewers and then ended up in San Diego and signed a 5-year deal.
Josh Hader.
Hasn't worked all that well. You know, the whole season.
In Houston.
So,
yeah.
Right. So
I still would like a little Hader aid in the bullpen. I mean, Hader would have been a good addition to this bullpen.
Well, the Mets have a closer, and he's got about 3 or 4 years left on his deal.
Is he not the guy who threw the glove into the stands?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he was that guy, but it was.
No, he wasn't that guy.
But they have a guy that hasn't pitched all that well that was hurt last year, signed to a big contract. You know, Hoyer's. Taken, I asked him a couple of weeks ago about this in the scrum with the other media people is, hey, you've never really been a big guy for long-term contracts or bullpen guys. And he explained it very thoroughly, and he's done it before, that those things really don't work out for long-term contracts for bullpen guys, that he believes they can be built through a farm system, through the present team that they have. And They're trying to do that right now.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call, which relates to the roster construction and Pete Crow Armstrong's presence on this roster. Go to Mike on the north side. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, how are you? I'll cut to the chase. Before it started being trendy, I said for weeks, PCA should be at leadoff. A single is an automatic double for him. Horner should be batting second. And while I don't like the move of Brown going to the bullpen, I don't know what choice they have. When Brown, Wisniewski, Leiter, and Miller, I think then you've got something there. And as far as Nick Yastrzemczyk, your third base coach has to realize he's got a guy with two blown-out hamstrings and the best relay throwers in the game, and Bellinger up next. He has to take that into account. But I really want to know about what you think about PCA hitting leadoff, Horner batting second. I don't think these guys know what roles they're in, and it's just so frustrating.
Mike, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Hey, it's a really good call.
And thank you for listening to the morning show. I suggested that on Thursday.
I listen to that when I'm not going around the dial.
You cheated on us this week, Bruce. You cheated on us this week. Take that.
Okay. XM Home Plate, you know, they have a lot of baseball talk. When you guys are talking Bears quarterback, sometimes I cheat on you. I have to admit it, you know.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Send me to Radio Purgatory. Next week, I won't be called at all to come on the morning show.
If the Cubs lose 8 of their next 10, we're going to be talking a lot more Bears.
Look, what this guy said, I was talking to some of my friends in the press box yesterday about how if you're bringing Pete Crow Armstrong up, okay, I'm not batting him ninth, okay?
No.
It's the wrong message,
right?
Okay? The message is we think you are over the hump. We think psychologically you are going to hit in the major leagues. The impact he can have and Horner can have is recreating what the Cubs had last year, and that was speed did impact their game. They were able to steal some bases. Again, when Council came in and looked at this team, he said, that's not the team we are this year. Okay,
that's a great point.
And I say exactly what the caller said was our conversation. Armstrong leading off, Horner second. The assumption is they get on base, okay? If you assume they're not getting on base, then Armstrong should still be in the minor leagues.
It's a great point. I have a thought on that lineup construction. We'll do it when we come back, especially we want to get to your calls as well because people have thoughts on what's going on with the Cubs. 312-644-6767 inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
And that's what we talk about all the time. I think it's a very fair question of, like, and there's no specific moment. You try to have a lot of conversations with a lot of people around here that have been around the game for a long time and have that discussion. What is, you know, going to be perceived as panic? What may be perceived to the outside as action may be perceived internally in a negative way. And so I think trying to figure that out. But yes, I think that, yes, you want to be patient. You want to believe that track records will win out. But at the same time, there has to be a level of urgency as well. And that's the fine balance.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine. That's Jed Hoyer. Bruce, before we get to the phone calls, Cubs are 28-30. There's no doubt as we sit here on the first day of June that they're going to be buyers and not sellers at the deadline, is there?
I don't have the checkbook. I don't have the opinion of Mr. Ricketts as to how far They want to go over the luxury tax. They are right at the limit right now.
What's your sense?
My sense is they will. They will spend. But I think they're going to have to, for now, they're going to have to be in a position to contend the end of July for them to be able to go out and get other players. So, again, how much they'll go over the luxury tax, you know, which is a concern of you and me and every baseball or talk show host and fan, but something that's more realistic and talked about before a season for a baseball team.
Theo is in River North. Theo, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you this morning?
Good morning, David. Good morning, guys. You know, I tuned in this morning, David, like I do every day, looking for catharsis after another wretched loss. But so far, the only thing that's making me feel good is Bruce singing his JeffBook.com song in between breaks. David,
yeah.
Being an accessible interview and an intelligent speaker clearly does not make a successful GM. If Hoyer's not to blame, who is? Now, big miss calling out Amaya as having a breakthrough season this year. And these ridiculously long team-wide hitting slumps. I don't get it. Dansby Swanson at $177 million, a massive overpay. Good guy, massive overpay and a big letdown. And if Willie Harris is coaching third base today, what gives? And while I'm at it, what's with the hitting coach?
Theo, good points. Hold on there, real quick, because I want to answer your questions. Number one, I think Dustin Kelly, the hitting coach, might feel a little bit of pressure because they haven't been hitting. Obviously, the offense is broken. I think your point about Swanson is good. He needs to respond. He had a bad final month and a difficult start to this season. I do think there have been good signings. I do think Bellinger coming back is a positive. Imanaga was a find. Look at him. Tyone, okay, mixed results so far. I want to say two things can be true. Jed is accessible and he speaks well. That doesn't make him immune from criticism. You can criticize his inability to find a power bat. I think that's the context I was talking about him being available when we want to ask him these tough questions. Does that make sense?
I don't disagree with any of that, but here's the problem. Jed's been given a lot of rope, and I don't care who the coach is. It's the same result. Dustin called this out yesterday, as we had last year at the same time. I don't understand why these teams go into month-long hitting slumps. These are supposed to be really good pros. If the hitting coach is doing anything, get out of it in a week or two. This is over a month now, and now they look completely lost. Their plate discipline is gone. They're not executing well, and they're all hanging their head. I don't know. I mean, I think Council's a smart guy. Here's another smart guy that's a massive overpay. You know, we see what's going on in Milwaukee. Pat's doing a much better job. Maybe he was the brains behind that whole operation.
Theo, that's a good phone call. Bruce, after this week, there's some people wondering that in Milwaukee and elsewhere about who was helping
whom. I look at it as a totally different way.
Okay.
Those players were trained by Craig Council and his coaching staff. That's why he is making the most money. That's why he is in Chicago for a new challenge. And because I'm not counting Craig Council out, and I'm not blaming him for this, but the fans' frustration's real. You have to listen to it. And the same frustration's going on at Clark and Addison for the people there right now. We know we're a better team. We're not playing up to it. However, Dansby Swanson is one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball. He was never a catalyst for the Atlanta Braves. He was never the top three hitters of the Atlanta Braves. He was a guy that, because they had such a great lineup, he could do well and contribute offensively because a lot of times the concentration was on other hitters in that lineup. And for I see him trying harder than he needs to because he's trying to live up to the fact that he needs to be the man here. He all he needs to be is the best version of himself, which is a shortstop, which is ideally a 5, 6, or 7 hitter. Just be Dansby Swanson because you're a really good player in that way. You're not the man. You're not carrying the offense.
he's pressing clearly, and I think I am with you with Craig Counsell. That was not a mistake to lure him away from Milwaukee to be your manager and to pay him all the money. I think it's a long season. It's okay to be ticked off now. There is a sense of urgency, but it is a long season. So I think the Cubs are not where they thought they would be, but they can still turn things around.
Well, we will go back inside the clubhouse and talk to the bench coach, Ryan Flaherty, of the Chicago Cubs, as we extend our talk about the Chicago Cubs. Chicago White Sox talk at the bottom of the hour as we talk to Paul DeJong, the shortstop of the White Sox.
Stay right here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Cubs fans, all season long, The Score offers you exclusive access into the Cubs dugout with an all-star lineup featuring Cubs manager Craig Counsell every other week with Parkinson Spiegel.
If we can get healthy, I think I'm pretty excited about this team. I think our guys have been doing a really good job.
Ian Happ joins Bernstein and Holmes every Tuesday at 11:25.
We have had some of those snake-bitten things. Yeah, hopefully get back just from an offensive standpoint to full strength.
And Nico Horner talks Cubs every Tuesday at 2:30 with Parkinson Spiegel.
It's by no surprise that we have some of the biggest stars of the game swing the bat faster than anybody else.
Exclusive access all season long on Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs. Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance. Shop the Memorial Day sale at Grand Appliance for Samsung stainless steel French door fridges starting at $11.99. Need it fast? Grand delivers faster than those other guys. Learn more at grandappliance.com. That's Grand Appliance, appliance expert since 1930.
Dads, it's finally time to transform your basement or man cave. This Father's Day, purchase your very own Golden Tee PGA Tour Clubhouse Edition. The game you spent countless hours playing is now available for your home, and it's better than ever. And you can play real PGA Tour courses, including TPC Sawgrass and TPC Scottsdale. Cup holders for your beverage of choice. This has it all. For more information, visit goldentea.com/score. That's goldentea.com/score.
Looking for a home run career opportunity? Join Uline's All-Star Warehouse team. Warehouse workers earn pay starting from $25 an hour with a $4 night shift increase, plus substantial bonuses. Uline offers day and night shifts to fit your life, and bright, organized facilities reflected in an industry-leading safety record. Whether you're a rookie or a seasoned pro, Uline will help you reach your full potential. Check out warehouse opportunities in Kenosha County at uline.jobs.
Is gambling affecting your relationships with family and friends? For some, obsessing about gambling is overpowering and can lead to financial pain, legal issues, loss of career, and worse. If you or a loved one can't stop gambling and needs help, we can help. Gateway Foundation has been helping families for over 50 years. Call 844-975-DONE. That's 844-975-DONE. In partnership with Are You Really Winning and 1-800-GAMBLER.
Recently, Lerner & Rowe is named the second most influential law firm in the country. Although we have offices in other parts of the country, we are your local law firm. No other law firm in the state comes close to the experience, reputation, and results as Lerner & Rowe. Hurting a wreck and need a check? Call the law firm that can get you the results you need. Call Lerner & Rowe.
Lerner & Rowe are the lawyers for you. Call 222-2222.
Jonathan Faust, Managing Attorney, 114 East Cermak, Chicago. Some work may be performed by or referred to other attorneys.
This NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place a same-game parlay on any playoff matchup, and you will get bonus bets back if you don't win. You can bet on everything. Rebounds, assists, three-pointers, any individual stat threshold. You want to do the money line. You want to do over-unders. You want to do point spreads. However you want to put it together, you can. Just make sure you...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
gone.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.